And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway right here on Fan Run Radio.
You need to get up and go get something to clean it up?
Yeah, he's trying to skirt around it.
Yeah. Did you break something or spill something? I don't know.
He spilled something.
Oh, no.
He spilled a drink.
Is it water?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. You're going to get this mess cleaned up, John, and then you may end up...
First of all, why is there an open beer over there? It's 3 o'clock. Why is there an open tall boy? I mean, I know we freaking love Miller Lite, but I mean, dude,
Tyler's having a really hard time here today.
He's broken the tripod.
Look. When you talk to Nate later, because I'm telling you, you're going to have to talk to Nate at some point after this.
Yeah, probably listening.
Just tell the truth.
Do we need to drug test him?
No. This is sheer sober buffoonery.
This is just, oh my God.
Oh, now you're going to break your cans.
Okay, we're good.
Are you all right now, dude?
Everything's fine.
The camera's broken.
Disaster.
Okay. Wow.
The camera's broken.
You spilled a non-water beverage all over the floor. There's an open beer behind you. I mean,
what's the first thing off the rails?
The show hasn't even started yet.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, I feel like the first thing you get told your first day working here when you come through one of those doors is, you know, secure your beverage.
Yeah, you're really not supposed to have. I've worked at radio station before where there are no drinks in the studio. Like, cannot bring a beverage in. It's a little bit different because we're doing talk radio and, like, your mouth gets dry and you have to.
We're not over a board either.
Really? Really, there probably should be water only policy in here.
You know,
if I were making the rules, but what do I know? I'm just some guy, just some shit.
Now it looks like the shot's kind of like one of those 60s Batman.
Let's go to the Fan Run breaking news desk right off the top here this afternoon. Another fast moving edition of The Drive. We have an asteroid update. Update on the asteroid that we led the show with yesterday. Colossal asteroid expected to pass within mere miles, very, very close to Earth on Saturday morning. It is going to be a near miss. Astronomers say we are safe for now. The kilometer wide asteroid, NASA officially calls 2002 PZ39, will get closest to Earth at 6:05 a.m. on Saturday. When it will
right
be
at tip-off?
6:05 a.m.
Oh, okay.
3.6 million miles away.
Right.
The asteroid is cruising at around 34,000 miles per hour and will be closest about, it'll be about 15 times the distance of the moon.
So we can't see
which it.
Not with the naked eye.
On an interstellar scale, it's not that far away.
What if this thing makes a hard left turn?
I mean, anything could happen.
They know what it's going to do. They know what it's going to do. Paul Chodas, the director of NASA's Center for Near-Earth Object Studies, says, quote, "There's no hazard or danger. We've been watching this asteroid for years, and we know its orbit very well." But
how are we just not hearing about this?
But the asteroid will be back as its orbit essentially intersects with Earth's orbit. It'll come within just 251,000 miles of where we were Tuesday night.
Really?
That's close.
How about that? Close shave.
You'll be able to see that.
Close shave.
You should be able to.
It's something they are
keeping
an eye on.
10 times faster than a bullet.
Of asteroids this size, Jonathan McDowell of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, easy for me to say, says, quote, "This is an existential threat in the long term for our species."
Damn it. I don't feel like going out like this.
If it hits, this is big enough to cause it's called an ELE, Russ.
An ELE?
Yeah.
What's that?
Extinction level event.
So we can't send Robert
like
Duvall
ELO?
Out there with a
no,
nuke?
That's like everything on the planet would die.
Jeff Lynn?
Even
love
what
ELO.
They say in the movie. Even bacteria.
Magic woman. Not to be
It's big enough to where it could completely sterilize the planet.
So it's too far to go intersect a nuke onto it.
No, we talked about doing that.
We talked about doing that.
If the asteroid's path were just slightly different and were to impact Earth, McDowell says, it plows into the Earth, it makes a huge crater, it throws enormous amounts of Earth material into the atmosphere, it could set fire to a large fraction of a continent, then you'd have a lot of dust in the atmosphere for years and years afterwards, it would wipe out all life for 1,000 miles around, and then knock on consequences for the environment for decades.
It's called a nuclear winter, isn't it? With the phrase where it throws so much stuff in the air. It all depends on where it hits. If it hits the ocean or if it lands.
Would you rather it hit the ocean and you know a huge tidal wave's coming that's going to kill you, or would you rather just hit Earth and get it done with?
I mean, it's 6 of 1, half a dozen of another. I mean, well, there's going to be a flaming molten
fireball.
You don't
think you can hop on a jet ski or something?
It depends on where it hits. If it hits on the other side of the Earth, we'll probably survive. I mean, the consequences will be...
This one...
bad, but it, like if it hits, I mean, that's what would be really weird.
So if it hits
if
Russia,
this thing
we
were
survive?
Coming straight to Earth and it was going to hit somewhere in North or South America in our hemisphere, and we knew that the effects were going to be devastating to North America, you'd have a situation where like people are trying to flee to get on the other side of the world, right?
Well, yeah. How's that going to work?
It's called a plane.
You're
a boat.
Take a 21-foot boat and cross the Pacific or Atlantic.
Yes. You do whatever you have to do to get off.
The other option is, you know, getting obliterated. I'll take my chances in my Chris Craft.
Go get in Houston's bass boat.
Is the mess cleaned up over there?
This guy says humans wouldn't be able to do anything if an object is only spotted within days of impact. The key, McDowell said, is to figure out years in advance so astronauts could fly up and do something about it. And I'm not kidding you. And the director of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics references the movie Armageddon with Bruce Willis. He says that's basically what we would have to do.
Really?
They've done some other stuff where they've looked at, you know,
so
just trying to change trajectory.
Yeah, well, that's what he says. He says that they would not just blow it up, but they would likely attach rocket boosters to it to speed it up or slow it down just slightly so it gets to the intersection point with Earth's orbit just a couple of hours sooner or later than we'll be there.
Wait, they're going to put a rocket booster on the asteroid?
Try to slow it down, like a giant parachute or something. You know, just trying to
shoot it the other way?
It doesn't take much on a cosmic scale.
So we would probably need Sully to be our pilot to get to the asteroid.
No, it'd be some 28-year-old wonder kid.
It'd be some fighter pilot. I mean, one of those dudes with the right stuff. It'd be Chuck Yeager, who turned 97 yesterday. Did you see that?
God bless him.
I trust Sully.
I don't think you want the guy who flew a plane flying this thing.
You're going to get some 28-year-old wonder kid.
The next truly close call.
That they know of.
Go ahead and circle this date, ladies and gentlemen.
It's probably going to be before Tennessee plays for a national championship.
We've got at least 9 years. The next truly close call is April 13th, 2029, a Friday the 13th.
Dang it.
When the asteroid Opafos will come even closer to Earth than the satellites we use for GPS. 300-meter-long rock will fly so close we'll be able to see it, according to NASA. But he said NASA is now sure it's not going to hit us.
We're 9 years away, and they're sure about now?
That's what they say. You trust the scientists?
We can't get a hurricane figured out until a day before it lands, but we know where this rock's going to go 9 years from now?
I mean, it's just,
basic physics.
Physics and math.
Not a strong suit of the drive, to be quite honest.
Would you just want to ride it out?
What do you mean ride it out?
Like if there was...
There ain't no riding something like this out, Trey.
No.
I mean, it's roughly the size of...
I meant if it was...
What'd you say? It's bigger than any man-made...
I meant if it was coming this way. And you know how everybody would probably freak out and just try to run from it when you know you can't? Would you just hunker down and chill?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't think anybody
would
hop
on 40 and try to get out of town.
I mean, we can go a step. Just thoroughly depressing Valentine's Day edition of the drive. There's a movie called Melancholia, Where it's not a it's a whole planet that's going to smash.
Yeah, but I mean, it's so big that you know it's just over.
Yeah, it's done.
If it's a situation like this where it's going to be big and it's going to be bad, I think what I said earlier is what would happen. It would, if wherever it was going to hit, the people in that general area, that hemisphere, that whatever, are going to try and get onto the other side of the world.
I feel like I'd have to come help you at some point.
Maybe that's what we need, man. Maybe like all this war and division, the American left, the American right, Islam, Christianity, like all the divisions, the human division in the world today.
You
like,
think we need an asteroid the size of Everest to smash into the earth?
Let me ask you this. Michael Jackson, let me ask Bring Us Together song.
Let me ask you this. If it were heading right for Russia, if it were heading for the Middle East, our worst, who's our biggest enemy, Bear? Iran?
Taliban.
North Korea?
Alabama. The coronavirus.
If it were headed for one of those countries.
Like Birmingham or Tuscaloosa?
Would you throw open?
I'm sorry.
Would you throw open the borders and welcome those people to?
No, I'd put troops on the southern border of Tennessee to stop them at South Pitt from coming in.
Damn, dude.
I'm not.
I just let them get smeared.
You keep it out.
Well, if they're in Alabama, like they're going to be safe. I'm talking about like, think bigger. Oh, expand your horizons here. I'm not talking
you
asked about
me who I hated most.
America
okay.
versus I'm talking about humanity. The guy said it's an existential threat to our species. Would we throw down our petty differences, our petty grievances,
France.
and welcome
the French.
Brexit.
The freaking Taliban.
No,
the Chinese. The Russians.
No, the only way I'm inviting those guys in is with the very clear understand.
Now, guys, listen.
There'd be some friends. It wouldn't be now, guys.
Let's get this perfectly clear.
I will put your ass out.
You got to leave the bombs.
You got to quit beating on women.
Yeah.
Girls can go to school, pal. Yeah, there have to be ground rules for those guys.
Now, Taliban.
I feel like that would be a lot more likely if we were like an alien invasion.
Maybe that's what we need.
An alien invasion is. I think we need that more than an asteroid.
Maybe if the asteroid were coming, like the people would be so desperate to get over here that they would be like, "Yeah, okay, we're gonna quit with the like bombing and barbecuing each other's kids, and we're just gonna come over here and like just let us in, and we'll leave all that stuff behind."
Yeah, but if we tried to go over there, they probably wouldn't let us in.
No.
Nah.
They'd be like, nope, y'all can go back and you can
There's
suffer.
Never be
what
peace.
Do we have that they want?
Well, nothing. That's not what they – we don't have anything.
They killed Osama.
Yeah. So Golda Meir said that,
What if he didn't kill Osama?
It won't
what if
stop
he's in, like,
until they love their children more than they hate us.
Think about – you said, listen, if – when they went in Osama's place, he had like a bunch of DVDs, a bunch of porn, a bunch of – like all that stuff will be gone. If America goes – all that stuff is gone.
We took that stuff away from him anyhow.
Like, just think about that. Just think about that.
He had a DVD player. He didn't even have, like, streaming service.
Quick timeout. The Drive, Fan Run Radio. We've got David Kloninger from the Post and Courier coming on here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, Bear looks like he just wants to roll right
Fan
through
Run
it.
Radio. The Drive. What are you trying to do?
You have completely forgotten what we talked about less than 15 minutes ago.
I remembered.
We're just not going to take a break. We're just going to call the guy right now. We're going to go from the end
Calling
of the world.
Live.
To, can we just take the break? Just take a break. It's okay. Just take the break. Quick timeout. Fan Run Radio. We'll be back. Tennessee plays South Carolina tomorrow.
Hopefully we make it.
If the asteroid misses us. In Columbia. Huge game. For Rick Barnes and the Volunteers, we'll talk about it with David Kloninger, who covers South Carolina for the Post and Courier in Charleston, when we continue next year on The Drive.
This winter, a day on the slopes is closer than you think.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. Let's bring in David Kloninger from the Post and Courier. He covers South Carolina for the Charleston newspaper. Joining us again on the show. Hello, David. How are you, sir?
Not bad, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, we're doing very well, thank you. It's interesting. We had you on a couple of weeks ago when the Gamecocks came to Knoxville, and I remember the conversation was like, man, what's going on with South Carolina? They can't get it rolling. Tennessee won a squeaker, a very unaesthetically pleasing game, as I recall. that night. Since then, the Gamecocks, 7-2, with wins over Kentucky, Arkansas, beat Vanderbilt, the big win at Georgia, just hammered the Bulldogs down in Athens earlier this week. What's gotten into Frank Martin's squad?
Well, guys, I'm not really sure that I can put my finger on one thing except that Frank's teams traditionally play better at the end of the year, and that's coming to serve right now. And it's really strange that they've played these last three games without their best defender in Justin Mania, and they've really been able to hold serve and then play pretty well. So, you know, it's one of those things where they're kind of inching themselves back on the bubble. They still can't consider themselves any threat to be an NCAA tournament team right now. But if they keep winning and really get a big win over Tennessee tomorrow, they could find themselves back in a better position.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like Tennessee and South Carolina are both not quite on the bubble, but in the vicinity of the bubble. So, I mean, both teams will be scratching and clawing. It could be a barn burner tomorrow night at Colonial Arena.
It could be. I mean, obviously, it's that kind of, that time of year where everybody's, you know, maybe feeling a little poorly because of the weather, you know, sick or with the flu. I know that John Fulkerson was coming off an illness the other day, and Josiah James has missed a few games but is expected to play. And USC's probably got a little bit of the same thing. But the main thing is that USC's been playing well. Tennessee's coming off a big win. So, you know, it should be an interesting one tomorrow night.
It seems like the freshman point guard, Cousinard, has been a catalyst for South Carolina as far as just being a steadying influence in the backcourt for the Gamecocks. Has his play been critical as far as South Carolina's recent success?
Oh, absolutely. You know, he's a guy that they needed to come in and score a lot of points. You're really doing him and your team a disservice if you only play him about 10 to 15 minutes per game. He did have to learn how to play defense, but once he gets the ball in the hands, he's very exciting to watch. And honestly, that wasn't the plan going into the season, but you guys know when it's not working, only a fool would keep trying to make it work. So Jair Bolden wasn't playing very well at the point, and they didn't want to put A.J. Lawson there. They gave the rookie a chance, and Cousinard has responded. So, you know, it can't get much better than scoring 28 points, including a banked-in game winner against Kentucky for your first start, but that's what he did, and he's continued to back it up.
David, this is Trey. I'm very interested to get your take on the SEC as a whole this season, because we've seen games where, you know, LSU doesn't look almighty. Auburn, you know, they had their problems on the road, but they've gotten themselves some nice couple home wins now. You look at Kentucky and the rest of the SEC, it just feels like maybe outside of one or two teams that anybody can beat anybody on any given night in the Southeastern Conference. And in this SEC tournament that's going to be upcoming in about 3.5 weeks, you know, it just wouldn't surprise me if there's some kind of team that makes a run. Give me your perception this whole season so far.
Well, guys, I think the SEC has really taken into the realm of all of college basketball this year. There's no one dominant team, and you can't ever judge a team by its record because there'll be a lot of upsets. I mean, if you look at South Carolina losing to Ole Miss a couple games ago, Ole Miss was 1-7 at the time. Well, since Ole Miss has also beaten Florida and Mississippi State, which are two pretty good teams. So you never can tell what you're going to get in the SEC or across the nation, but that's what makes the game so good. So, yeah, I think there could be the chance of a team going to Nashville and maybe winning 4 games in 4 days, like we saw back in, 2009, I think, with Mississippi State pulling it off, and then Georgia in 2008 before that. So that's the kind of games and tournaments where you need to play well to advance, and I think they'll have that chance this year.
I want to ask you a football question real quick. The University of Tennessee lost two different personnel guys. They lost Tracy Rocker. Now, his contract was up at Tennessee, but you still lost him. And they also lost Drew Hughes, director of player personnel. Looks like University of South Carolina is going to be paying a nice amount for Tracy Rocker. He could be on his last deal when it comes to college football. And then Will Muschamp poaches Jeremy Pruitt's director of player personnel, and Drew Hughes and Will Muschamp have a long history together. My question is, why do you think they decided to go after Rocker? Because there was a lot of talk that Vanderbilt lowballed him. He wanted to go there and watch his son play. And Tennessee offered him off-the-field role. It didn't It just didn't feel like a recruiting hire for South Carolina, but do you see him making the impact on the field?
Well, I think that he definitely could because he'll have a good group to work with, a lot of returning guys, and plus he'll have Jordan Burch, you know, a pretty big-time recruit right there at that outside linebacker buck position. Even though he might not necessarily coach him every day, he'll be in charge of him a lot on game days. So I think that he definitely could be that kind of guy to make an impact, but you're also going to have to go in there and start making an impact in recruiting. And, let's just call it like it is, guys. All of these assistant coaches know without a good season this year, all of them are going to be on the breadline next year. So, he did get a two-year contract today worth $525,000 a year, but right now pretty much everybody's on really a one-year contract depending on how the season goes.
Did Drew Hughes, now I knew the contracts were approved today, did Drew Hughes get a two- or three-year deal with South Carolina? How did that work out?
Well, actually, his contract was not released because here the board doesn't have to approve any contracts that are below $250,000 per year. So I'm not sure of the exact numbers or language of his contract, but I know it was a multi-year contract, so at least two.
Right.
But I don't know about the pay.
Because he was working year to year at Tennessee. He only had a one-year deal at Tennessee. So that makes sense. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
David Kleininger, the Post and Courier, with us here this afternoon. You can follow him on Twitter at DCPNC on Twitter. And last thing for you, David, we'll let you run. Always appreciate your time. Saw where the school, South Carolina, has acknowledged that they have received a notice of allegations from the NCAA in connection to the federal government corruption scandal into bribes and corruption within the sport. They are one of about a dozen or so schools that we know of that are under investigation. What's the worry factor for Frank Martin and his program?
Well, no school likes to get one of these, obviously, because it means the NCAA is not only looking at you, but they've completed their investigation. However, if you're going to get a letter like this, this is exactly the kind of language that they want to have in it. They knew that they weren't going to escape the fact that Lamont Evans once worked here and once admitted taking a bribe to sear certain players towards certain sports agencies, but that's all the letter charged Lamont Evans with. USC is not charged with anything. Frank Martin is not charged with anything. And most importantly, the player Lamont Evans was supposed to be steering, P.J. Dozier, never signed with that sports agency and is not mentioned in that letter as having taken any money. Therefore, his eligibility is not compromised. The Final Four accomplishment of that season is not compromised. So right now, the worry factor is zero because they know that they're being charged with a level one violation, but it's like, look, they can charge it with Lamont Evans, but it's not going to reflect on USC or the basketball program. So they'll definitely appeal that to the NCAA and say, hey, it's a level two, if anything. But, you know, if the NCAA comes back and says, well, you know, you're still going to have to go on a year of probation and pay a fine, they'll say, fine, yeah, no problem. As long as it's not a loss of scholarships or postseason ban, they'll be fine with it.
Yeah, I guess with Dozier, he was already there, so it's not as if South Carolina benefited. The coach did, and I believe he's already been sentenced, if I recall correctly. So
yeah, 3 months, and he could be facing deportation because he's a native over the Bahamas.
Oh yeah,
he actually left here in March of 2016 before that season ever started. So it doesn't seem like, and the athletic director said today, there is no worry on their end that season will be touched in any way.
All right. Very interesting. Always appreciate your time, David. Thanks for jumping on. Have a great weekend.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, David.
David Kleininger making his presence felt.
Deportation.
Yeah, well, I mean.
It's the first I've heard of that.
I believe if I were that guy, I'd be like,
okay, bye.
I'll just go ahead and pack my stuff and go, y'all won't hear from me again.
Y'all file the paperwork. I'm gone.
I don't know, man. I hope that what he said is correct because it doesn't sound like, you know, what South Carolina has happened. I mean, that's definitely shady and illegal.
$5,600.
And the coach should be punished for that. But it seems like it's a lot different than what we're talking about, like, say, Kansas or some of the Adidas schools that were paying the players to come there.
Yeah, this guy is just trying to get these players to sign with an agent. To sign with an agent that was paying him. They paid him $5,600.
So here are the schools that have acknowledged publicly that they have received an NCAA inquiry. South Carolina now, Oklahoma State, which is the other school that Lamont Evans was at, Kansas, NC State, TCU, and USC. There's six, and then there are other schools that, according to ESPN, are also being investigated by the NCAA. They just haven't confirmed it publicly, and those include Arizona, Auburn, Creighton, Louisville, and LSU. So 11 schools total that
Didn't
we know
Auburn
of.
Already get – no, there was that report. Okay, yeah, they self-penalized themselves, acting like they haven't received their notice of allegations. I would bet you that Auburn's already received their notice.
I mean, theirs was very similar, right, though, because it was Chuck Person was taking the kids that were already there and steering them towards a guy.
But also giving them money.
While they were there?
Yeah.
Hmm. And then, obviously, LSU. Well, Louisville. We all know what went on there, allegedly, in Arizona. It seems like those would be the – I would just hate, and I'll reserve judgment. I understand a lot of people probably skeptical of, you know, what the NCAA is going to do here. But, like, if South Carolina and TCU end up taking big punishments while LSU and Kansas and Louisville get off.
NC State. Yeah.
Hopefully there is some – this feels like a last gasp for the NCAA as far as being a relevant body when it comes to rules enforcement for NCAA – for college athletics. And maybe they've already breathed their last gasp and we're just trying to figure out what comes next. But, I mean, if they can't get this right.
No, I agree with you, especially with the evidence that's put forth into them. And the fact that NCAA investigators were in the courtroom during all of this. Like, during all of this.
They got Will Wade on a wiretap. He's still coaching. You guys really think they're going to get anything right after that?
It must...
I mean, the NCAA can't hold a gun to LSU's head and say fire him.
Well, also, they don't have subpoena power.
But this stuff is public record.
They could go down to an office and type up a 10-year show cause and send it to them.
But the feds would have to hand that wiretap over to the NCAA.
It's public record. We've already heard about it.
Right. No. I get that part of it, but I'm talking about subpoena power and putting everything in place.
What do you need a subpoena for?
You know, you got the transcripts.
They have got to be able to get more information from the federal trial that happened. That's what I'm saying. They have the transcript of it, but there's more information in regards to payments involved that were in the federal trial.
By the way, the NCAA rulebook reads, they've got all they need. They've got him on tapes, you know, saying he's making offers. They're not doing it to him. They're not doing it to Bill Self. They certainly aren't.
They certainly
aren't asking Rat Boy any questions over there, Krzyzewski, about, you know, if Zion didn't want to go to Kansas for $200,000, but he does want to go to Duke.
Well,
you're going to tell me he just wants to go to Duke for Krzyzewski?
Look what's happening, guys, is, you know, the NCAA, and they're spread way too thin right now. They don't have enough people to investigate 12 big basketball programs simultaneously. So this is going to take a while. They take a long time anyway. But what is going to happen? And they are looking into this. It's not like they're twiddling their thumbs. They're doing whatever it is they do. It's just going to be a while until you get results. And we don't know what the priorities are as far as are they going after Kansas first and then Creighton and then TCU and then South Carolina, then LSU. Are they going after them simultaneously, two here, three there? Like, we don't know any of that. So we're in the dark. Something's happening. We just don't know what, and we obviously don't know what the end result would be.
Do y'all honestly think Duke needs to pay for players nowadays?
Yes.
I'm talking about Duke. I'm not talking about the apparel companies. I'm talking about Duke.
The kids are getting compensated to come to Duke University.
Not through the university, though.
Doesn't matter. Nobody, you know.
I think it goes through the brands. I think it all goes through Nike and Adidas.
That doesn't absolve Duke University and Rat Boy of any ever.
But Duke's sitting back saying, liability. Oh, I didn't pay this kid anything. What are you talking about?
There's a lot of different ways you can do it. I mean, the shoe companies are obviously worse in basketball than they are in football. But, I mean, a lot of this stems from agents.
And
those guys
coaches
still want to sign the guys. So there's a variety of different ways you can do it. Like, is Duke paying their player if the agent wants to sign him? And so he gets somebody to give money to the uncle or so-and-so, and then it's kept away from the kid or his family. And like
right when he finishes his last game.
I don't know. I mean, that's
you remember
subjective.
That scene out of He Got Game with Jesus Shuttlesworth and Denzel, you know, where the Jesus goes over to the agent's house and he's showing him around. And the girl, Rosara Dawson, was the runner.
I just remember his visit. He had the threesome on his visit.
I'm talking about going to the agent's house. You remember the agent's house? Rosario Dawson was the middleman trying to set him up to go to these places.
Was that John Turturro?
What? No.
I'm confused. Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in here on this Valentine's Day edition of The Drive, feel the love in the air. Can you feel the love tonight, Sir Elton John? We're back with more right after this.
The Drive. Pretty much everywhere else. This is The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio. They've come up with a plan to take all the trash and dead bodies off of Mount Everest, evidently.
Don't tell Hayden that. He doesn't care.
A lot of trash and dead bodies up on Mount Everest.
They use them as waypoints when they're climbing up.
The waypoints, like markers?
Yeah, just markers.
Yeah. Really?
Where some of the bodies are, yeah.
So it's like, oh, there's Steve.
Yep.
We're about 10,000 miles or 10,000 feet from the top, guys.
Yeah. Whereas, I guess it's just, I'm assuming that somebody at some point, you know, like pushed some snow over Steve, I guess. I would hope.
Probably the snow did that.
I don't know. They got a plan to go up there and get him. I think that's cool. Let's bring the boys home and ladies. Assuming there are a couple women up there.
How many people are up there, Hayden?
How many bodies are on Everest? Get the Google machine working.
I would say like 340.
I think that's high.
I think it's incredible.
I'd say over 100.
I'll say it's under 60.
Still kind of high.
78.
Who's closest?
One.
This is a really morbid version of that game you used to play in elementary school where there's a jar of jelly beans and you guess how many jelly beans are in there and then whoever guesses closest
gets to keep
the 295.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's a lot of dead people.
It's a lot of dead people.
A lot of idiots to try and climb that mountain.
I hate to be right.
Would you, if you had, if you had the money and you were in shape, would you want to do that?
Piss off, Bear.
Excuse me? Yeah, did I miss something? I
mean, it was fat and coming in at 75 miles an hour, Trey. What do you want me to do? I'm you know.
Smart ass. I don't know if I would climb Everest. I wouldn't be able to climb Everest, but if I could climb Everest.
I know this idiot guy I've known
for
20 years. This guy, he was all over Facebook about it. He tried to climb. He went on this. He's got more money than he's got sense, okay? And he like documented how he tried to climb Kilimanjaro. That's one in Africa, right?
Yeah. Madagascar.
Yeah. He didn't make it to the top. He almost killed himself with altitude sickness.
That's
just
that
too
would
thin.
Stink the way. That'd be a bad way to go.
Like getting hypoxic and just blacking out and never waking up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a pretty bad way to go.
Yeah. Have y'all seen the movie Everest with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Is that the one that's based – I've read the John Krakauer book, which is just a phenomenal read. Is that the one that it's based off?
Yeah, it's a guide company that's taking all these people
they go up there and the storm hits.
And the lead guy dies.
Yeah, several of them die.
Spoiler alert.
Several of them just like
– a lot of people don't know Jake Gyllenhaal's in that.
Stagger down the mountain with all sorts of frostbite. Like the one guy lost his nose and fingers.
Josh Brolin.
But he survived. He got down. Like, they left him for dead because they're like, they got to get down there, and they couldn't carry
he went
people.
Blind too. Yeah.
And he just woke up, and he was like, I'm not dying. Like, if I am going to die, I might as well try. Like, I'm not just going to lay here and die in this tent on the side of this mountain.
I mean, so that would just be a horrible way to go. You're reading books about, like, during World War II, life on the Eastern Front for the Kraut soldiers.
Wait, are we doing worst ways to go right now?
I mean, you're talking about freezing to death.
It is Valentine's Day.
People's noses getting frozen off.
Somehow they got a helicopter up there, and they got him off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they can get it up to...
The air is so thin, they couldn't get out to a certain
height. What you got is you got your base camp. The helicopter, you can ride the helicopter up to base camp. And then they've got four camps progressively up the mountain.
Right.
And I think they
got him off at one of them.
He somehow drug his ass down to base camp.
I think they went up to like one of the camps where helicopters rarely go at great risk to the people in the helicopter.
Right. Wright called the Texas National Guard. It's in the book. She called the government over there. I guess she was some big wig, the woman playing, Robin Wright playing the woman. But she called the government of Nepal.
Yeah.
And they ordered a helicopter to go up there and get her husband off.
It's all about who you know. That's what I've always said. Big game coming up for Tennessee tomorrow at South Carolina. We'll talk about it a little bit more. We got a Rocky Top Report, a lot to get to. Bradley's Chocolates, still got the chocolate-covered strawberries. Fellas, if you're in scramble mode right now, trying to figure out what to do, what to get her, head on over to Bradley's. They are on North Peters Road, right next to Altruda's, and on Market Square, Knoxville Chocolate Company. Check them out. They'll take great care of you at Bradley's, and tell them you heard it right here on Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick break. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio on a beautiful Friday afternoon. Hope you got big Valentine's Day plans out there. If you don't,
rob a bank.
Don't do that. It's a very weird suggestion. I would say just, I don't know, stay home or go out. You know, go out and try and meet a similarly lonely soul.
Go down to Bradley's, buy you a bunch of chocolate, go home and watch, the truck race or some sort of sports on TV. And
The Notebook.
Well, I mean, I have a girlfriend. Are y'all talking to the other two people, other interns?
I have no idea.
I'm unattached.
Truck races tonight.
Are y'all want to like throw out phone numbers or something? I mean,
Chance on the Blitz had. I mean, he was dropping some love knowledge this morning.
Chance,
yeah,
Chance.
He was giving out like Valentine's Day recipes for the guys. He less than $20 and stuff like that. But then he was like, you know what? If you're single, you go out, you sit next to a lady at the bar, and you're like, hey. You start complaining about Valentine's Day, how bad it is. And then she starts complaining about Valentine's Day, how bad it is. And then you bond over the fact that you hate Valentine's Day.
He's a punk and a clown. We're going to talk about Chance Collins.
I think that sounds like reasonable, Casanova perfectly Chance. Reasonable advice. Is that what you're going to do?
No.
I think that's how
Hayden?
You probably do it.
You got a girlfriend too, don't you?
All right. He has a lady friend.
I'll send Bear and John Tyler out on the single scene and see what they come back with.
Make a videotape it?
I'm watching Jack Ryan, season 2 tonight.
You're going to love it, by the way. You will love it.
Yeah. See him killing terrorists.
You're going to watch Saw tonight, I think.
Oh, well, there you go, man.
Yeah. This whole holiday has got you rattled, man.
Nothing
What's going
says,
on, John?
It's not been a good afternoon.
Nothing says I love you like the gift of Saw, which, by the way, the Saw with Chris Rock and Samuel L.
Weird.
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks like a... It's a different type of horror movie. It actually looks like a...
Well, it looks more like Seven, where like a psychological kind of mess with your mind as opposed to just gore and gross you out.
Oh, there's
going to
be a lot of that.
It's one of the, I think, four movies that I've left in the middle of.
I was drunk
Seven?
When my friends took me
you
to
You left
that.
Seven?
Yeah.
Why?
It was too dark.
Was it trippy?
Scary?
No, not really scary. I just...
It was you could say it. It was Saw was too gory for me.
I didn't go to Saw.
What's the difference between dark and scary, Bear? It's okay. You were a little scared. You were rattled.
No, it's not scared like dark and scary. Dark can is stuff that happens.
Yeah.
Happens in real life. There's freaks out there.
That's scary.
It's just like what, stuff that Freddy's walking around with razor blades on his fingers.
See, I'm the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like I see that stuff and I'm like, well, that's just silly to me. But when I see like Seven, that's scary because it's like that could all have happened.
Mm-hmm. What? Really? You don't think Saw could happen? There's some crazy ass people out there?
A little bit.
We've seen.
Well, I'm talking about like Freddy, Hellraiser, like Jason, you know, stuff.
The devil movies,
supernatural, and stuff. That's to me.
I don't like the just the Saw. What do you call that? Just the is it grindcore?
Just gory.
Yeah,
grossness.
I mean, it's just disgusting. I mean it just really is. So, but like serial killer stuff that I get spooked. You know, I get.
You get a little weirded out. You have death issues. You don't.
It's
like
not really death issues. It's
you
just
got death issues.
It's okay. The whole serial killer thing. I really don't like it.
I don't watch horror movies, and I don't watch graphic violence movies. So I'm right with Bear.
No, I'll watch it. That's the thing. Because like John Wick, I mean, he killed like 100 people in that movie.
I feel there's a difference.
Yeah, that's about as gratuitously violent as you can get.
Well, this rather uplifting segment of the drive is brought to you by our friends at IntegraCon Technologies. Response time is always critical if you're having an IT crisis.
It's critical.
And if you're having an IT situation, you need IntegraCon. They pick up the phone as soon as you call, and they can help you right then and there from their technical help desk. It's quick and easy. When it comes to finding the right person to help with IntegraCon, visit them online at IntegraCon.com or call 865-330-2323. IntegraCon has cloud solutions which help ensure your organization makes the right decisions from a security standpoint. Cloud monitoring allows them to watch over your data assets and identify potential risks, and you can do it again with IntegraCon Technologies. Again, log on IntegraCon.com. Or that phone number, 865-330-2323. Coming up, hour number two of The Drive. We'll get some phone calls going here. Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoke and Hot Question. But first, we'll get the top four at four with John Tyler coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.